We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us on another Friday here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are talking Packers free agency, Packers everything, because that's what we do on the only 365 day a year Packer podcast. I am Dan Kotnick, one of your co-hosts. With me on my fun Friday crew is Monty Moore and Camille Davis. Guys, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. We have a lot to talk about for one of the few times in free agency.
Yeah, I'm doing good too. I got my hair done today, so I'm feeling like a new woman. Like I'm excited.
There is this show's gonna have good energy. There we go.
Exactly. Fresh hair.
We need some good energy. We need some good energy because I feel like we need some calming energy, like some centering energy. Yes. It was a roller coaster of emotion this week as a Packer fan. I think when you throw in everything that happened Monday and then the weird Aaron Rodgers stuff that happened since then, it's like if you are a diehard Packer fan, you have been going through it this week. It's been a rough one.
Yeah,
I mean, the Aaron Rodgers thing is real. Like, I can and I can't.
It's at this point, the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it's like you remember from South Park where they were like, the manatees have the balls where they write the Family Guy jokes and they just like pull these different things out there. That's what I feel like all of these things now from Aaron Rodgers. It's like Aaron Rodgers believes.
It feels like a Mad Lib.
It is. Yeah, it's a Mad Lib. That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay, but I know that it's been talked about to the nth degree by everybody, including everyone here on the show this week. But I feel like, you know, everyone kind of gets to say their little piece about this is a ground kind of shaking move by the Packers front office. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to go back and listen. I remember we talked on one of our episodes recently, specifically about this. It's like, and the comments were all, if he's the heart of the organization, you can't let him leave. It'd be very surprising for Brian Gutekunst to come out and say that, and then Aaron Jones not be on this team. So I think it caught everybody off guard. So let's just open it up. What was your guys's, what was your reaction, your two-step reaction? One, thinking it was going to be a Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones backfield. And then the realization that came about 45 minutes later when it was announced.
I obviously, because we had talked about expecting him to be back, which is what the GM said. Yeah, you see they signed Josh Jacobs, you're like, that's a great 1-2 punch. Like, people mm-hmm. started to put together, like, is this the best, like, duo in the league? Which arguably it would have been, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm getting ready for that. And then, yeah, then the next bombshell comes, which was obviously shocking. And I was, you know, in my feelings about it, like, because he's arguably, like, my favorite Packer of the last 10 years. And then you start to, you know, more trickles down and comes out. It's like how the discussions went, and you saw they wanted him to take a pay cut. He didn't. So, like, then you understand that. And then, yeah, then we wake up, like, the next day, and it's not that surprising, right? He went to the Vikings. So that was a crazy 24 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just so excited when I was like, oh, my God, Jacobs and Jones, what a backfield.
The law
like,
firm, the law firm of Jacobs and Jones.
I'm telling you, I was already thinking, like, what a great 1-2 punch. I was like, you got Jacobs with, like, the power, and you got Jones, like, the shifty eye. And I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be so great. And as soon as I saw the tweet that he had, Aaron Jones had been released, I was just like, wait, what? Like, this was not part of the plan. I had NFL Network on one screen. I had Twitter on another screen. I was like, everything was just saying, like, you know, we're expected to bring him back. How? So then I went through all of, like, the, wow, I can't believe we have to say bye to Aaron Jones after all we heard this offseason about wanting to keep him. And I started thinking, like, how is that going to affect the locker room and the chemistry they've been developing there? And then I saw the rumors start coming out, like, well, the Vikings are interested. And it's like, of course the Vikings are interested. This would really annoy me. And then you wake up and it's like, now I'm annoyed. Like, this is what I wake up to. Like, this is the news. Like, okay. Okay, I see it.
Yeah. And I, you know, my whole, I went through the same thing of like, holy crap, can you believe that this offense is just basically reloading from last year and adding Josh Jacobs? And yeah, you know, it's looking back on it now with sort of a clear vision, it really kind of makes those comments, I think, change how maybe the meaning behind them. And it was less saying that was less so a commitment from the front office of saying Aaron Jones is going to stay here, and more of probably a way to put a little public pressure on Aaron Jones mm-hmm. from the front office side of saying, hey, we love you, man. We know that everyone on the team loves you. Don't you love it here? Don't you want to do everything you can to stay here and be a part of this team? And, you know, if you can argue right, wrong, however you want to say it. But I think at the end of the day, the thing that sticks out to me is the fact, I think Ken Ingles was the one that brought this up, was that they could have restructured his contract without his permission. Mm-hmm. And lowered his cap hit. They did not. When he decided not, when he said he was not taking a pay cut, they released him. That to me shows exactly what their plan was for him moving forward. And that was that this was the year they decided this was going to be the last year. You either stay and take the pay cut or we're walking away. And that was predetermined well before the Josh Jacobs signing, probably even before the season started.
I do really wonder if Goody was, or the Packers overall, but Goot specifically, was surprised that he was able to get Josh Jacobs for that contract, because the contract is unbelievably team friendly. Like, if he doesn't work out this year and he's not good, we'll pay him that $14 million for literally just this year. And then that's based, and then they could cut him essentially. Like, it's that team friendly. And that's a reflection of what the market is too, by the way, like, which is why They had like Aaron Jones market value spot on, right? So, yeah, I think maybe being able to get a running back 3 years younger with that contract, I think once that happened, they were like, that doesn't mean we don't need Aaron Jones anymore, but now we'll probably be more aggressive with asking him what pay cut to take, because now they have everyone's favorite word, more leverage, mm-hmm. right? Because they've got a guy that can come in and do that. And again, I said this, I think what they're going to, if they both play up to what their talent level is and their potential is, the what you're worried about losing from Aaron Jones won't have anything to do with production. Like, Josh Jacobs is really good. Mm-hmm. If he's even, close to what he was 2 years ago. And the Raiders overall were a mess last year, so it's kind of hard to think that that's going to be his standard. But yeah, I mean, if he's back to what he's supposed to be, the Packers upgraded at running back, and they certainly got younger. So I think obviously the sting and the shock will wear off by the time the regular season gets here, assuming they don't, play the Vikings in the opener.
Until week one, right? Sunday night football at Lambeau with Aaron Jones coming back with the Vikings.
But yeah, between now and whatever Vikings week is,
right?
I think it will.
I think you have to lock up that as week one, right?
I mean,
it has to be week one.
It's certainly a leading contender, especially the way the NFL likes opening the season with
right.
divisional games lately. Yeah. So,
but yeah. it makes me think as well. The Packers have a history of knowing when to say goodbye to players as well, and that's a difficult mm-hmm. thing to do. It truly mm-hmm. is, because we as fans have an emotional connection to this team, and we're thinking sentimental about it. And I can't remember who said this. It might have been Andy, but I was like, this is so true. And it was talking about how the NBA gets this part wrong, where the NBA is going to give out contracts based on sentiments. And like, yep. yeah, like the last Kobe contract, for as great as Kobe Bryant was, we all know it. His last contract was a thank you for your service type of contract. Yeah. And it sunk the Lakers for a bit, because they weren't actually able to put enough talent around that team to make it competitive. NFL, it's a lot more cutthroat, kind of like, we appreciate what you have done here, but at the end of the day, we are going to make a decision that's going to be best for the future of this team. And that's just the way it goes. And the Packers have done that. Like, I just saw in my Facebook memories, making a status about Jordy Nelson, I believe on this day. Just saying, yeah, I get it. I love Jordy too, but it must be time. If he did not want to take this pay cut, like, this is what the market is set as, according to Goody and the Packers. So we're going to have to roll with that. And he was right about Jordy. Now, I do think Jones is going to have a good year or two. Jones still has something in the tank. I think it was just like the price tag wasn't going to match what the Packers wanted and what he felt he deserved. So the split had to be made.
It's so crazy to think that we're over a month removed from actual football, and it's already the start of free agency. But despite the end of football, the action on the floor is just beginning to heat up. It's tournament season, the NBA's in its final push towards the playoffs, and there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So that means it's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. There are so many reasons why Prize Picks is my favorite fantasy app, but my absolute favorite aspect is the fact that I can log in, easily make my selections, and submit my entry within 60 seconds. Prize Picks completely changed my football season and my overall enjoyment of the game. Now, it's NCAA tournament time, and I sincerely cannot wait to combine two of my favorite activities, March Madness and Prize Picks. This week, I'm already keeping an eye out for Damian Lillard three-point makes, Nikola Jokic rebounds, and let's just say I plan on making a ton of Caitlin Clark picks over the next couple weeks. The best part is that right now you can download the app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So download that app right now and use code PACKADAY for that first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, here's the way I look at it is, you know, there's the philosophy, better do it a year early than a year late. And
right,
like you said, Camille, it's not easy to do that because no one, the fans don't really, if there's a fan favorite, but he's massively fallen off and isn't good anymore, they're going to be sad he's gone, but not sad that you cut him. Right. So when they do it a year early, it's what these guys theoretically are still producing and the fans still like them. So it's a shock where it's like, well, this is a good player and we love him. Why are they getting rid of him early? And I mean, the Packers are right on this more than they are wrong by doing it this way. So it's just so funny that every time it happens, we stir it all up again. Like, what are they doing? This is so, like, why would they do this when they do it all the time and they're right more than they are wrong. And again, like, if Aaron Jones goes out and plays very well next year, like, I mean, I think this feels right now like awkward for everyone. But like, who stood the most to lose, unfortunately, is probably Aaron Jones. Cause I mean, he went to a worse situation. Yeah. Like, I mean, the Vikings just got Sam Darnold. Like, that's their plan next year, right? So like their team is trying to find a new window and rebuild. Like, he doesn't fit their timeline for what they're trying to do. So, I mean, I think he's still obviously good. So I think he'll produce, but yeah, I think it's one of those, like, when you get halfway through this season, it's going to be like, okay, the Packers made the right choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think, like, when you look back on it, people want to talk about the money from Green Bay paying that money. Look at what the market told you what a running back was worth. I think like looking at like a lot of the deals that people signed, if you look at just the numbers divided by years, almost every deal except for Saquon Barkley.
I was going to say Saquon Barkley. Yeah. His is the outlier.
Right. It's like every deal is roughly about $6 to $8 million a year, which is which is kind of in that range of where they wanted him to be at. And it's where he signed with the Vikings. And so, you know, it's not, when we talk about the draft coming up, everyone talks about the value in the draft and get in draft for value. Well, you got to do it on the other end too. You got to get value in free agency and your guys. It sucks to talk about human beings in this sense, especially people that are the ones putting their actual bodies in harm's way to do this, but it's the nature of the game, and it is unfortunate that it has to end this way. But I will say, Xavier McKinney definitely helped alleviate some of those.
Yeah, you want to talk about like a roller coaster day? That was I mean, again, I've been actually like into and watching the Packers since like 95-ish. So that's the craziest free agency day around the Packers that I think I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Like, they landed the consensus best available safety who's really young, and like that's a player in the previous years, like of course they're going to be interested in that player. And then you expect to hear, oh, the Packers are interested, oh, they're in talks, you know, they made, and then it's 2 hours later, well, they made the offer but they got beat,
right?
So like we're just used to that. So the fact that we went start to finish being like locked in on a guy, because there was that report that the Packers did a lot of like study on him during the regular season, even, because obviously they played the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been in on him for a while, and to see it pay off, like, that was crazy.
And the payoff is, I won't say a long time coming. I mean, you mentioned the fact they were doing scouting in season, but then when they hired Jeff Hafley as the defensive coordinator and he finally gives his press conference and he's asked what his ideal post safety looks like, and he's explaining the guy.
Yeah.
Everything is like lining it. I forget who, I think it might have been, I can't remember who said it, but it was like, this sounds a lot like Xavier McKinney. And I'm like, it really does. And from that moment, I was like, man, it would be really cool if the Packers could find a way to get him. Like, the Packers legit went from having one of the worst safety groups in the league to having arguably a top five at his position safety back there manning it. Now, of course, they still need to add some bodies there. Jonathan Owens in Chicago. Okay. What are we doing with that? All right. And Savage is in Jacksonville now. So it's like you have to find some more bodies. But, man, that is an excellent one to start with, because if you're going to play him out of single high safety, he can do just about everything you're asking for a nice post safety or free safety to be doing in your defense. So, like, he's a crucial part of that. So I'm happy that the Packers got that. The linebacker piece is still a little shaky right now, but we do have a safety.
Yeah, I think that leads us into kind of what we wanted to discuss today is where else do we want the Packers to look? Where else do we want the Packers to kick the tires? Where, you know, is there somebody you want them to, quote, be in the discussion for? Because, I mean, Camille, you think you nailed it. For me, the only position that I could think of that I'm saying go out and try and get a top 20 kind of guy is at linebacker. All the other positions, I'm willing to say draft, develop, give them a chance. You know, whoever's there, let's figure it out. Linebacker is really the only one for me.
Yeah, and there's not many great options left in the free market, unfortunately. Like, unless you're into Devin White, are you interested in a Chris Barnes reunion? Like,
Oren Burks is sitting out there, gang.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too. That is true. That is true.
Yeah, I mean, the one that makes the most sense, and he's probably the best available, so you might have to overpay, which they, I don't know if they're willing to do that for another position, but is Jerome Baker from the Dolphins. Yeah, he was starting linebacker, really good, and obviously his old linebacker coach is now doing that for Green Bay. So, I mean, it makes sense. There's all the connections there, but yeah, it's kind of a bad time to need a linebacker because they're not great in the draft this year either. So it feels like when they fix the holes they plan to at safety, number one, they got McKinney. That's a huge one. But they probably still need at least one more starter and then a depth piece, right? So we assume they get that worked out before week one. It feels like by default, the weak spot on this defense is going to be at linebacker because it's just going to be the hardest hole to plug before the season starts.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny to think about too, because like if you were playing Madden, no injuries, you know, injuries off, and you say you roll into the season with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie as your two middle linebackers there. Okay. Like I'm kind of okay there. You know what I mean? But like there's so much kind of around Quay Walker, especially.
He gets dinged up.
Yeah, he comes out of games early. He's missed a significant amount of time over the last two years. You've got to get something in there. And I'm wondering, I think they probably, I would love for them, look, maybe I'm just thinking about the Devin White from like 2020.
NFC championship game.
Our Devin ass White. In the NFC championship game. But I feel like this is going to, they're going to roll with this linebacker group like they did with the safety group last year and just say, here's what we got. Godspeed, you know.
Well, that's the thing is like they're going to need bodies. Like,
right.
I mean, when you saw contracts like, you know, Patrick Queen got, like, they were never going to hire, like, they were never going to sign like an old guy like Bobby Wagner, because that's clearly what they're not trying to do. I mean, yeah, their prize free agency target was only 24 years old. So they're certainly not going to be adding a lot of old guys to this team. But there's just not a ton out there. And it's like I was saying, so if, unless you go the obvious route with Baker, they're just kind of going to have to, they've given themselves a lot of freedom where they don't have to kind of shoehorn themselves in the draft with those five top 100 picks. But I mean, it definitely feels like at least one of those is going to have to be on a linebacker they deem starting caliber, because there's just not much available.
Yeah, absolutely. Have to find somebody for a linebacker. And I do wonder too, if maybe they can get like some of their, like just the, like the Rasul Douglas type of guy, where it's somebody who's in the league, might be practice squad. And again, it's hard to always hit on some of these lesser known guys. And it's like, hey, he's actually very productive. But I'm sure the Packers are doing their research. We've already seen reports that they're past like the first wave of free agency. They've made their splashes. And now it's time to wait and shop the bargain bin of the deal. So we'll see when they can get there.
Well, and this is normally when they work their magic, right?
Right. I mean, exactly.
Normally for us, free agency doesn't start until next week.
Right.
Because they don't, they're not involved in that first wave. So this is where historically they're very good and they find at least one guy that is a complete bargain that ends up playing significant snaps for them. And producing, not just, you know, plugging a hole in the field, but like actually being pretty good in that first season they bring them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any other ones that you guys can think of? Because I think and I'll throw this out as like a kind of a dark horse one, not one that I think they'll spend a bunch of money on, but one that maybe surprises people. They make a move at. And it came up because I think Ross Uglum was tweeting back and forth with somebody about this. And it's wide receiver. Because I think it was somebody was making a comment about the Chargers having to get under the cap by today and how Mike Williams was probably going to be a cap casualty. And he was. And it was like, if you know, do you take a flyer on him? And when you start thinking about it, it's like everyone loves what this offense did last year. But once you get past the top four wide receivers, you could argue three top wide receivers on the team, you can make a significant upgrade in there. Like Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed.
Wicks,
I'll throw in there, but that one even is like, if you came across like a, like these guys already signed, but like a Michael Pittman or, you know, something like that, like where you could upgrade that spot and that person maybe even vaults themselves into a top three. I think you have to take that if that
comes. I mean, yeah, if you get the chance to, that's the thing, like the receiver market has been kind of slow. Like Calvin Ridley got the huge deal.
Yeah.
Surprisingly huge.
And Gabe Davis got a pretty big deal. But other than that, it's like, yeah, Pittman got extended with his own team. Mike Evans got extended with his own team. It's like, they're not going to make a move like a T. Higgins.
No.
They're not going to give up significant capital and then pay a guy a bunch of money. Like they're not doing that. So it's kind of like, is there going to be a receiver that no one's really interested in? Is going to come cheap? That's also going to be better than a year or two of Wicks or, you know, another year of Bo Melton. Like, that's the thing about this receiving core is they're so young, but they showed so much in the first year, but they also all have chemistry with the quarterback. So then it's like, okay, so someone better really be good enough to come in and be better than those guys and be able to have good chemistry with the QB. So like, I'd be all for it because I'd love adding talent wherever they can, especially if it's, you know, some kind of crazy move they can pull off. But I really do feel like they're not going to touch the pass catching group unless, like I said, something crazy happens or like they might take one like on day.
That's three, what I was going to say.
Like of the draft, which is crazy. I mean, it hasn't been this solidified for a while.
I think if there's, well, I think, and that's what I think is maybe the more probable thing, I guess, is if something happens, if the board falls the right way into day two, don't be surprised if that's a wide receiver. If one of those top guys, it's a great wide receiving class. And if somebody falls to you like that,
oh yeah, they'll take one in that case.
It doesn't matter how good the I just wanted to mark that. Here's I'm literally looking. I've been like scrolling through my free agency list and everything. Here's a name that jumps out to me. And I want you, please tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I'm crazy for thinking that this works. You got Josh Jacobs in the backfield, and next to him, resurrecting his career in Green Bay.
Oh boy,
is J.K. Dobbins.
So
call crazy.
With just about any signing, my big thing is always, okay, well, what will it cost?
Sure.
The right price, taking a flyer on J.K. Dobbins, I'm not mad at it. But I would also hope the Packers would add in the draft as well. Like, I know the Packers really like Emmanuel Wilson, so he's going to have a chance to compete to really get some playing time. And really,
they sound like they really like him.
Yeah, so I can't wait to see what he looks like coming into this season, because clearly what they've been seeing behind the scenes, they have a lot of confidence in what he can do. So they're like, okay, like we can't, like, let's see what happens. But yeah, if you can get Dobbins in cheap, I wouldn't be mad at it. Like, it depends on the price, but I think that we are getting ready to hit that point where you're seeing the contracts. Oh, that's it? That's all it took?
Right.
Okay. Well, yeah, and they certainly are going to need at least one more back, because, like, we don't expect A.J. Dillon to come back, right? So, yeah, I mean, I'd be for it. It feels like, though, the backs you have to start to look at are, Goody said he likes a big guy and more of a slasher.
Yeah.
Like, Jacobs is probably the bigger back. So
he's
more of their Dillon replacement. So I feel like anything else now you have to look at, okay, which backs are available when draft time comes or that's still on the market that are more Aaron Jones-like?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Okay, any others, guys, that we've overlooked? Anything that we haven't touched on yet?
I'll say this. With the way the safety market has been going, with just there being so many guys available in free agency this year, and you're starting to see those contracts slow down, if we can find a way to still get Cameron Curl on this team, I am here for it. Figure it out. I would love to see it.
I had Jordan Fuller, too. Like, he hasn't signed anywhere yet.
Yeah.
He would be great.
Yeah, I guess there's cornerback is one, too, there. Like, is that a position they go out and get? Because if you think about, you've got Jair, you're probably expecting to see more Eric Stokes, or you're hoping to see more Eric Stokes this year. You re-sign, did they just re-sign Ballantyne?
Ballantyne.
That is never going to not bother me. And you just re-signed Keshawn Nixon. But again, it's like, if you can find a spot for a guy like that, you can significantly upgrade that spot. And I will say this too, because this just came up. This came into my mind as well. I didn't mean to cut off anybody's thoughts that they were about to jump into there. But when we talked, going back to the Aaron Jones thing with like losing the veteran leadership, losing all of that, I really do think, and I'm really hoping, that under this new defense, this Jeff Hafley defense, I think it becomes led by this defense.
Mm.
I think Jeff Hafley is the guy that's going to come in and harness the true power of this defense. And when you look at the old guys on this team, they're all on the defense.
Oh, especially, they're definitely all on the defense. Yeah.
I think I think we are looking at, hopefully, a culture change here where instead of the old veterans being led by the offense and the offense leading the way, the defense now, the Jair Alexanders, the Kenny Clarks, the Preston Smiths, those are the guys that this team looks to for the veteran leadership and to set the tone. And now you include a guy like Xavier McKinney, who comes in and immediately commands respect because of the play that he's put out onto the field, you know? And that was the one thing I wanted to make sure we hit on, is like thinking about that power vacuum of Aaron Jones leaving. Look for it from the defense. I wouldn't be surprised.
It would make sense.
My like pie in the sky guy that's still remaining, which they would never do, is Eric Armstead.
Oh,
like if you put Eric Armstead next to Kenny Clark, like I know he gets nicked up a lot and he's going to command a bunch of money. You feel like he's probably going to go right to Houston to play with D'Amico. You can play for D'Amico Ryans. But that would be the one that's out there that I'm like, if they got that and then did nothing else, I'd be sold. Yeah, I'd be ready.
And you talk about a guy that would, like Xavier McKinney, would command immediate respect as a leader.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
That guy, he's been to what, 2 Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like he knows. He knows what it takes.
And this team doesn't have many of those guys on it given their age at this
No.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the only player over 30 is Preston Smith, and the only player 28 or older is Kenny Clark. Like other than that, everybody's 27 or younger, which is wild.
The Packers could be younger this year than they were last year.
Yeah, that is. They really could be.
Real quick, when was the first year that you guys remember, everyone on the Green Bay Packers is younger than I am?
I don't know about everyone, but I do remember what made me, the first time I was like, oh man, I am getting older, was 2011, because Randall Cobb was the first player in the NFL born in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I was born in 96. I was like, they're catching up.
Oh my gosh. You're
96 or 86?
Oh, you sorry, 86.
86, yeah. Right? Sorry, 86.
Wait. Yeah, my bad. No.
How are you remembering football in 95? No. You are a genius.
No, yeah, I meant 86, because then I remember, so he was born in the 90s. I'm like, I remember all of the 90s. So I was like, it's starting to happen for me.
Yeah, I think it was around that time. I can't remember the exact player, but it's just, you know, you're seeing the faces pop up. And I was just like, oh, wow. Like, I'm actually closer in age now to the vets than I am to, like, the younger guys coming on the team. Even just this offseason, looking at Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta. And I was like, wow, he's, like, around my age. And he just tore his Achilles. Like, that's going to be tough. Like, that's tough.
Yeah, no, Aaron Rodgers was really really keeping that dream alive for a lot of elder millennials there.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
to keep us there. Yeah, I think it's that whole meme of like, you know, I'm 30. I've got the rest of my life ahead of me, and it's like TV football announcer, and here he is at 29, defeating Father Time again.
Yep. And you're just like,
or when it really hits is when you start, there's like, you're watching college football and they're like, pass broken up by Asante Samuel Jr. You're like,
that yeah. part.
Junior.
I just saw it was like,
you're like, I remember when his dad was a rookie. Yeah.
Yeah. T.Y. Hilton's son.
Yep.
Is a senior next year in high school.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Like,
I remember rookie T.Y. Hilton returning punts.
Yeah.
In the NFL.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
My uncle told me that early. He was like, you think you feel old? Wait till you start seeing, like, the sons of players you grew up watching play football. And I was like, Antoine Winfield Jr. was one of the ones where I was this is weird. And on top of that, now I've noticed commercials have songs that I grew up listening to now.
And oh, it's like as throwback.
Like I'm now the target audience for like these insurance commercials and all these other things that are bringing in Ludacris and all these other rappers that I grew up listening.
You're walking through Kohl's and they're playing the oldie station, but you're like, man, this station's great.
Right.
they're playing bangers in here.
Right.
Oh, well, on that note, anything else, guys, to wrap us up? I think we hit pretty much all of it.
Yeah, I think we did. We're recording Wednesday, so I fully expect something crazy to happen Thursday.
I would love to have another episode thrown out or something because it of something wild in a good way. In a good way.
And if it's Cameron Curl, just somebody at me and just be like,
you got there we go.
Well, Monty, Camille, where can people find you out in the social world?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Ferd Turgeson, FERD_TURGESON. And you can also find a new episode of Last Call Lambo coming out on Saturday on Game On Wisconsin.
Nice. Camille?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Camille Monet, CamilleMone. Wait, that's not my name wrong? CamilleMonae. Yeah, there it is. Camille Monet on Twitter or Instagram. And for the podcasting world, Technical File Podcast every Wednesday, as well as Locked On Bucks Monday through Friday.
Awesome. Yeah, and you can find me on the socials at DK All The Way. Anything I've got going on there, post it on there as well. And make sure, of course, you're following the show at Packaday Podcast. Follow the YouTube side as well. The massive amounts of content that the whole team here, when I say the whole team, I mean Andy Herman, like 90% of putting out every single day. So make sure you're following us as we get deeper and deeper into the off season and closer to the draft, of course. For Monty, for Camille, I'm Dan saying thank you for listening, everyone. And as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is 4 missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.